Opinions expressed by talk show hosts or callers on KWRO AM 630 do not necessarily represent or express the opinions of the staff and management of KWRO AM 630 or Bicoastal Media LLC, its sponsors and subsidiaries. And now, ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting live from the palatial Bicoastal Media Studios high atop the Hall Building in beautiful downtown Coos Bay, it's the Jim Bice Show. Here he is, Jim Bice, the guy everyone hates to love.
Good afternoon, Coos County, and welcome to the Jim Bice Show. It's a lovely Monday here in the Bay Area. I hope you're enjoying it as much as I am. I have in the studio with me today, Rob Taylor, as normal.
As normal.
Yeah, you've kind of become a fixture here. The reason I have Rob in here today is he's been active with a couple of things. The homeless issue, there was a big meeting on that last week. And then the commissioner's attempt to alter the urban renewal ordinance to suit them so that the people don't have any say in it.
Right.
At least two commissioners anyway. Have you talked to Bob Main to see where he's at on it?
Bob was there today. You know, he just had a 5-inch incision into his back and has been pretty disabled for the last couple of weeks. But yeah, he was there today and he was in great action because we had Fred Jacquois who is the port director over at the Port of Coos Bay, who's promoting this idea of continuing the North Bay Urban Renewal Agency.
Right.
And one of the things that they're discussing, if anyone doesn't know, is that right now they're only about $100,000 in debt, I think is what they were saying. But they have the potential of going $60 million in debt.
Yes.
If this actually goes through. Actually, they have the potential right now to do it if they wanted to. But the problem is that it's going to sunset in 2018.
Right.
Well, that was the big thing, because back in 2012, I went to the county commissioners. It was Fred Messerly and Cam Perry and Bob Main at the time.
Right.
And they passed an ordinance that they all supported unanimously, that if they wanted to lengthen the urban renewal, if the port wanted to lengthen the urban renewal plan, or they wanted to increase the debt, that would have to go before the voters of the people of Coos County. And I was very instrumental in getting that passed. I was there. In fact, of all the commissioners, only Bob Main and me were the original people who were there and worked on that ordinance.
Right.
So we knew what the intent was. And the intent was when this plan for the North Bay URA expired, it was supposed to go to a vote of a people if they wanted to lengthen that. So what Melissa Cribbins and John Sweet did is the port director over there, Fred Jacquois, had worked with them to find a loophole to get out of going to the voters, because they know the voters would kick it down. And what they did is they found a loophole, which if they just erased the sunset date and let it go in perpetuity forever, then they wouldn't have to worry about a vote of the people, because it wouldn't trigger a vote according to the ORS that's quoted in the ordinance that was passed in 2012. Well, today I was at the meeting that was not advertised. You cannot find it on the county website, and you cannot find it on the urban renewal website, our webpage that's on the Port of Coos Bay website. It is not even mentioned in either of those places. And that meeting today, where they were having questions and answers, where the people could find out what's going on, almost no one attended. I think there were about a dozen people there, Jim.
See, is this another effort to circumvent the will of the people?
Well,
because we've got two commissioners that have an established track record of that.
Right. Yeah, obfuscation is the word.
Yes.
And that's what they're trying to do here. So when Fred was up there talking, he was talking about they've had an amendment change to the plan that they presented from the last meeting, which was a couple of weeks ago. And that plan change now has a sunset date on it. When he added the sunset date, that means it's going to trigger the ordinance from 2012 and force it to a vote of the people.
Right.
And so he was trying to push that at the meeting today. And the lawyer who was there last week spoke up and said, excuse me, according to our ordinance from 2012, we have an ORS that is quoted here. And it specifically states that any time you increase the date or the limit on the plan, that it's going to trigger that ordinance from 2012 that forces it to the voter, the people approval.
Right.
And Fred Jacquois was trying to argue that it's for some reason that he didn't think it was a substantial plan. And the attorneys basically told him, well, he did tell him that you're going to have to show me the wording to the ORS where it says that that doesn't occur with
right.
what it says right now and the way it's stated. And I know this because I contacted the county's attorney, and I'm sure you were part of this thread because I was making sure that.
Right. Yeah. I followed it.
Yeah. And so he had contacted me back after I asked him the question, why are they not going to the voter of, you know, to the people
yeah.
for this increase in debt? And by the way, they'll tell you, well, this is not a taxing district, or it's not paid for with taxes. It's a
bull.
Debt. And it's bull. Yeah. What it does is it siphons from the regular taxing districts that then again have to come to the people every time they need money. So
right.
it does cause your taxes to go up. And not only this, and this is something I pointed out at the homeless meeting we're going to go over here later, is that it also increases the property value and all the other houses surrounding the urban renewal development to increase in the assessed value, which means they're going to pay more in taxes, which means that grandma's going to have to pay more for the house that she's living in, which could cause her to lose that house because she can no longer afford to live in it. So actually, urban renewal causes homelessness to some extent.
Yeah. Well, and you know, here's the thing that strikes me about this whole thing. As Rob mentioned, he's kept me abreast of everything going on through email, and I've been following it very closely. But the thing that, all through this, the thing that just glares at me from the whole thing is we've got two commissioners that don't think the people have a right to have a voice in how their money's spent.
And Jim, their list of projects, they got three tiers of project. And if you got to all three tiers, your project cost right now for the urban renewal debt would be anywhere between $3 million to $18 million that they would go into debt and push that debt out until 20 years so that they could slowly pay it off by draining all the other taxing districts. That
right.
includes the college, the schools, the county itself. And the county right now is having a hard time keeping those jail beds open for the sheriff. I mean, the sheriff has to fight these guys for money.
You
know, nonstop. So, you know, and that's one of the things I said at the homeless meeting, and I've been saying at the county meetings, is that the sheriff needs his own taxing district, which is completely removed
it's
from enterprise
independent
zones.
From the budget.
Right.
Yes.
It's independent from the budget, but also does not have any urban renewal draining, does not suffer enterprise zones, and cannot be subject to special levies. I mean, we can put all kinds of things on there so we know that the sheriff can use this, what he's using it for, and nobody can take that money from him.
And, you know, we've needed to do that for years because it seems like when they do the budgeting, and I can't tell you how many budget sessions I've sat through over the years, they want to fund all of the stuff that makes them look good.
Right.
And then police and fire are at the bottom of the list and they get whatever's left, if any.
Right.
And that's not how it should work. You know, police and fire protection are basically, they're the underlying basis of society.
Actually, that's the building block. You could almost make an argument that the fire department and the police department is really the only legitimate reason to have a city government, because they don't need much in planning and they certainly don't need any zoning. I mean, we've got there's plenty of towns in Texas that has no zoning. So why do they have all these different agencies? Well, they want to build their bureaucracy.
And they want control over the people. And
right.
that's the bottom line. You get these tin horn politicians and bureaucrats,
mm-hmm.
you give them a title and right away they want to control everybody. And it's supposed to be the other way around. They are supposed to be representing the interest of the people, and it's the people that are supposed to be in control. And yet they're turning it around. If you look at probably 70% of the laws on the books are only there to control the people.
Right.
When are we going to pass some laws to control the bureaucrats and the politicians?
And you know, the good example of that is we just had to pass a Second Amendment preservation ordinance because they were eroding one of our Second Amendment rights.
Yeah. And the same two commissioners
right.
refused to even address that. You had to go to all the work of getting a ballot measure
right.
and letting the people speak because the ones that are supposed to speak for the people refused to do so.
In fact, John Sweet said directly to me that it's not his job to protect the rights of the people. And then he really doesn't have a job then, because that's his only job.
That's his only job. Well, he's up for re-election next year. I think maybe he should find a new line of work.
I would agree.
Now, what you had, let's take a break here. And then when we come back, you can tell us about your little adventure at the homeless meeting.
Oh, so, sounds great.
I want to let everybody know that this is an interactive call show and talk show. So you can call in and put in your 2 cents worth. And you can do that by calling me at 541-267-2124. If you're outside the immediate calling area, you can even call toll free at 800-507-5569. So this is stuff that's going to affect you and your pocketbook. And I'm sure that a lot of you out there have got some thoughts on this, and, you know, call in and share your thoughts with everybody else, because, you know, you're the ones that own this county. It belongs to the people. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to Rob. And it sure as hell doesn't belong to the politicians. So your views and your opinions are very important, and you need to share them. This is the venue to do that. 541-267-2124. We'll be right back.
At Gibbs RV in Coos Bay, we sell more RVs than anybody on the Oregon coast. And we're looking for nice, clean, pre-owned RVs to consign or buy. Want to get your RV sold without the hassle? Call Gibbs RV today at 888-3424. That's 541-888-3424. Local pickup and appraisal at no charge. And remember, we make house calls. Gibbs RV Superstore, 1845 Ocean Boulevard in Coos Bay.
Stop in today to the all-new one-stop gun shop, Hole-in-the-Wall Gun Shop in Coos Bay. Your area leader in quality firearms, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop proudly features the top brands of new and used handguns, hunting rifles, black rifles, antique and collectible guns, ammo, mace, and more. Gun cleaning and repair, expert advice, and handgun safety classes for concealed carry permits are offered too. So stop into Hole in the Wall Gun Shop across from Cumyon's on Highway 101 South in Coos Bay. We buy, sell, or trade.
Hi, Danny at Far West Tire and Auto. I was wondering how your tires are holding up on the wet, slick roads out there. If you are ready for a new set of tires, stop by Far West Tire and Auto, where you can get up to $140 back in rebates when you purchase 4 select Goodyear tires. Far West Tire and Auto on Highway 101, Coos Bay. Always the right tire, always the right price.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the show. Now, you attended a meeting for the homeless out at the Devereaux Center last week.
Well, it wasn't at the Devereaux Center. It was at the Coos County City Hall, right across the street over here.
Coos Bay City Hall. Yeah, right down the street on Central. Okay, and you had a bit of an adventure there.
Well, let me tell you, it's funny how the irony of things that happen at some of these meetings is just, you're drenched with it by the time you get out of there to the point where you need a shower. And so, you know, we had several people up there, and they weren't speaking against the Devereaux Center. What they were speaking against was the crimes related to homelessness.
Right.
And I've been hearing this problem for the last year, and it's been increasing and increasing. In fact, we've had people approach us from private businesses to ask us to escort their ladies, the women of the of their office, to their cars because they were being accosted by homeless people. And this was just last year. And so and one of the ladies is a business owner who went to the meeting with me last Tuesday. And she's a business owner, and they've been defecating in her doorway where she works. And the city, this was great. Roger got up there, and he gave a PowerPoint on the homeless. And, you know, Roger is about the least
Roger Craddock. He's a city manager.
He's the city manager. Yeah. And
need to let people know who these people are.
Yeah, see, I get used to it because
I know.
Yeah. And so Roger Craddock, the city manager, he gave this nice little PowerPoint, and he said, he gave an anecdotal story that he says people always talk about how the homeless, a lot of them are, it's because they want to be homeless. And I think
Which
is true, but he said, I've only known one person who's ever wanted to be homeless. And I thought, well, that's because sympathy is currency for the homeless population.
That's right.
And they're not going to tell a bureaucrat or a police officer or all these city officials or all these ne'er-do-wells at all these different nonprofit charities and whatsoever that they really want to be homeless because, like I said, their currency is trying to get that bleeding heart to bleed a little
bit
more.
I've conducted my own unscientific survey. While I'm out and about doing business all week, there's certain areas I go to where it seems like there's always homeless people hanging around.
Right.
And I'm curious, I want to try to get inside their head and find out what they're thinking. It helps me to better understand any given issue if I can go directly to the source.
Right.
And I found that the homeless, and remember, folks, this is totally unscientific. It's just me asking questions. They break down into several groups. You've got one group who I think are probably the smallest in number of all of them that are legitimately homeless. They're
seeking a home.
Yeah, well, they're victim of circumstance.
Right.
And, unfortunately in our society, there's way too many people that live paycheck to paycheck. And if that cash flow is interrupted, the world collapses in on them. And that's happened to quite a number of people, and they're stuck out there with no place to go. And I have sincere sympathy for those people, and I want to do what I can to help them.
Right.
Then you've got a group who are basically alcoholics and dopers. They really don't care if they're homeless one way or the other, as long as they get their supply of alcohol and drugs.
Those are the people I call transients. And like I said, there's a distinction between people who are homeless and looking for a home and people who are transient just looking for a good time at the next stop. So
right. And then you have a third group. And I was kind of surprised in asking a number of people. I was surprised how many there are. There are people that don't want to be on the grid. They don't want to have any part of society. They want to be left alone. They want to do their own thing. But of course, at the same time, they expect somebody else to support them.
Right.
So those are your three basic groups. In my opinion, two out of the three are not deserving of taxpayer money.
And that's where we're getting to with the city. When we
Yep. Let me make one more point, because you mentioned the crime rate. I believe it was an article that appeared in the not quite Daily Toilet paper where the police chief said that, the homeless are having little or no impact on crime. Excuse me? Does he really think we're all that stupid?
Well, Jim, I'm the one who, I sit in my house and I think, I've got to go to the restroom. Why don't I go down to the local antique store and defecate on their doorstep?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And see, they were also trying to blame meth heads. And I was trying to say that, a lot of the crimes that are happening are not because people are on drugs, even though some of them are.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them are just mental. Some of them are just lost. But they can't use drugs and mental illness as an excuse, because they're taking away or they're negating the fact of personal choice and personal responsibility.
Exactly.
And
unfortunately, all these do-gooders out there, they want to reward people and enable people for making poor decisions over and over and over. Now, everybody makes mistakes. God knows I've made my share.
10 today.
But yeah, at least. But here's the thing. Normal people, when they make a mistake, normally they analyze the situation. Okay, this is where I screwed up, and I'll try not to do that again.
Right.
But way too many people in our society now have this attitude that, it doesn't matter how much I screw up. I'll just keep making the same mistakes over and over because somebody else is going to pick up the tab. And that's basically where we're at with many of these homeless people.
Right. You know, I had a roommate who killed himself because his mother would not pay for his bills anymore. And we started getting people coming to the apartment looking for him, and people were wanting to collect. And eventually he realized that the spigot was dry. Mom wasn't going to pay for it. So he pulled into mom's garage, closed the door in the garage, and hooked a hose to the exhaust pipe to his window and killed himself. And I don't feel sorry for him because he was a pathetic use of life.
And it was his choice.
And it was his choice. That's what
you know. That's the thing, folks. When people make poor choices over and over and do it consistently, you can't help those people. All the money in the world and all the sympathy in the world is not going to make a bit of difference in their life.
And Jim, I don't hate the man I just talked about. I don't hate him at all. I feel sorry for him. It was, you know, this is sympathy, not, you know, not hate. And that's what they were trying to say about us at the meeting. Anyone who spoke out against the crimes that the homeless were committing were hateful. And then they were saying that we were directing it towards the Devereux Center. But what we were directing towards the Devereux Center were some of the actions they were taking, giving out blankets and sleeping bags and tents so they can go and camp in the woods. That was the problem we had.
On somebody else's property.
Right. And we've heard that they were giving out needles, but they swear that they're not giving out needles. So I don't know what the truth is, because the lady also said she wasn't giving out blankets and sleeping bags, that people give them blankets and sleeping bags that she then gives out. So, you know, when people give you those kinds of answers, you never know what exactly, you know, the truth is.
Well,
at that point in time.
The thing is, once they lie to you, you can never trust them from that point onward.
Right.
And, you know, that's kind of where we're at with two of our commissioners, isn't it?
That's completely where we're at.
But,
so,
you know, do you foresee any kind of activity that's actually going to better the position of these homeless people, or it right now, or is it all just talk and rhetoric?
Jim, I can tell you right now, the homeless are going to be exploited by the political elites. You've got a mayor, Mayor Bonetti, who's talking about passing taxes or finding grant funding or finding some type of government public money funding so that they can pay for these housing projects that he wants to put up. I think they just now recently did a one at one of the hotels where they're allowing people to stay. I'm not sure. I read that in the newspaper, but I really didn't go over too much of the details.
Right.
And so what he's talking about is, and he was saying that we need to put this homeless project out in the middle of the woods, you know, away from everybody. And I'm thinking, you know, that's what the sheriff wants, to have this nice housing project full of druggies and criminals. I mean, why don't we just build a prison and put them in there?
Well, but, and here's the other problem with that. They want to segregate them out and away from the normal people.
Right.
Then you create an additional problem of transportation for medical situations and other situations. You know, the only thing that keeps, whether they're homeless legitimately or because they want to be or whatever their situation, these people still have the same needs as the rest of us. They need food. They need shelter. They need medical care. If you stick them out in the boonies, how are they going to obtain that?
Well, that's the problem, because now, because of, you know, the laws that require, you know, first responders to give aid to these types of people, you're going to have situations where they're going to have to go out to these far out facilities and, I guess, drag these people out of the woods. I'm really not sure, but the mayor doesn't really give us many, you know, offerings of what his...
Wants to do is spend taxpayer money.
Yeah, he just wants to spend taxpayer money. And I said, you know, and this is one of the things that I brought up. His urban renewal agency, the two districts that his city feeds off of, 600 and almost $650,000, not quite that much, but almost $650,000. If they ended the urban renewal debt and they let that money revert back to the city, that's how much money the city could have that they could either pay for more patrols.
Right.
Or they could give it to the county so that the sheriff, or not to the county, but to the sheriff's department, so the sheriff could hold more people for a longer time, because that's what they're complaining about and that's who they're blaming it on.
Well, it isn't the sheriff's fault, you know. If you know, for some reason, politicians don't seem to understand that when you don't have any money, you don't have any money.
Right.
And it doesn't matter how broke you are. It doesn't matter how burdened you are with debt. politicians seem to think that you can just go out and get money anywhere you want to, and it doesn't matter how deep they reach in your pocket because you'll find a new way to come up with the money. Well, you know, in the case of the sheriff's department, there's no place else to go.
Right.
There just plain is no money. And all of these things that they're wanting to do, urban renewal, they want to help the homeless, and there's, you know, there's a multitude of other little programs that they support.
Right. Oh, we have a Homeward Bound program that they talk about where the city gives money to people to take bus tickets to wherever they're going. So we ship people out to other cities,
yeah.
By the way.
Yeah.
I did not know that until the meeting last Tuesday.
Whatever happened to the good old days where the sheriff would find these people driving the county line,
right?
Put them out of the car and say, all right, bud, you're going that direction, and points away from the county. You know, that used to be done all the time.
Well, I think that was the first version of Rambo where that happened. And that actually was filmed in Oregon, wasn't
it?
Yeah, where they, and Rambo came back and wasn't too happy about it. But, you know, it could work because... You know, my whole thing about even if you're not holding them, then they should do more patrols and keep on these people because Rudy Giuliani had a practice in New York City where they had a broken window policy. You know what the broken window policy is? Where any little crime that they commit, they get a ticket and they're picked up on. And you start doing that over and over until it's an over amount of burden for them to carry. And they eventually either go away or they find a solution to their problem. And that's the other thing, Jim, is we're taking a lot of heat on Facebook and social media as being haters. They're saying that anyone who's against, you know, protecting your property is a hater because we want to get rid of these homeless. And I don't want to get rid of the homeless. I just don't think it's a community problem. I think it's an individual problem. And it's the individual problems of the people who choose to be derelicts of society.
That's right. Now, as I mentioned before, there are some legitimately homeless people that I believe are deserving of help.
And that's why we have the Devereaux Center.
But it should be done on a one-on-one basis.
Right.
It should not be done as a group. And this hate crap, I'm getting real tired of everything being hateful. You know, you can't even stand up and express an opinion anymore, but what some twit slithers out from under his rock and accuses you of hate. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go public. This is the way it works, folks, in my world. At the very most, these people can incite me to mild irritation.
Right.
If I truly hated anybody, they wouldn't exist. They would already be dead.
Right.
And I don't make any bones about it. You come at me with legitimate hate, you're going to die from it. And I'm getting real tired of all of these idiots out there accusing everybody that has an opinion that's contrary to them of being hateful. At the very most, it should be mild irritation because they don't agree with you. So what? That's the way the world works. If everybody agreed with everybody else, you know, life would suck, basically.
And, you know, and that's why, I want to get to the end of this story because there was an incident after the meeting. I don't know if you got a break that you have to go to.
Yeah, we got to pay some bills.
Darn it.
I know. Well,
these are good bills, though.
You know, these are the people that enable me to come here every week.
Oh, yeah.
This one is from your locally owned McDonald's restaurants. They're located in Coos Bay, North Bend. There's one in Walmart and one in Reedsport. All owned by the same gentleman who lives here in Coos Bay, and a great guy, by the way.
A real great guy.
Yeah, you've met him.
Yeah.
Anyway, what they're offering are some freebies at any of these four McDonald's restaurants. I've got here a certificate for one free breakfast sandwich of your choice, one free dessert of your choice, one free breakfast, lunch, or dinner extra value meal. Those actually aren't too bad. You know, I tried of those not too long ago. And one free sandwich of your choice, as well as a card full of coupons that are basically buy one, get one free for a number of different items and a real money-saving deal to go along with the freebies. And I'm going to give all this away to caller number 3 at 541-267-2124. So dial the phone right now, 541-267-2124. And the third caller will win all these goodies from your locally owned McDonald's restaurants. And I'll be right back.
And now your weekly car care tip from Tom's Bulldog Automotive.
Hi, I'm Tom from Tom's Bulldog Automotive in Coos Bay. With the cold winter months here, it is time to have your cooling system serviced. Many people think their antifreeze only keeps their car's engine from freezing. In reality, the engine coolant does much more than protect your engine against the cold. It also protects against heat and corrosion. A quick way to destroy your engine is to run it too hot. Aluminum components can warp as a result of excessive heat. Good coolant improves the cooling system efficiency. It also keeps the cooling system from rusting, which can cause severe problems over time.
Go to Tom's Bulldog Automotive today. They'll clean, flush, and put new antifreeze in your cooling system to make sure your car is in tip-top shape for winter. Call Tom's Bulldog Automotive at 541-269-0399. That's 541-269-0399. Or go to tomsbulldog.com.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Think you can't manage the down payment it takes to purchase a new home? Think again. You could move into a $150,000 home with as little as $1,500 down with our 1% down payment option. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.19%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Every day people ask me, Jay, did I miss out? Have the rates gone up? The answer is no. Rates are still low, and it's a perfect time to refinance your home, especially if your mortgage rate is higher than 4.25%. If you'd like to lower your interest rate and save thousands of dollars in interest without starting over on a new 30-year loan, a Quicken Loans Yorgage is what you're looking for. With our exclusive Yorgage, you can choose a term that works best for you, anywhere from 8 to 30 years. The rate today on an 8-year Yorgage is 3.25%, APR 3.75%. For 7 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation for customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the third year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org. Number 3030.
Your brain is an amazing thing, but as you get older, it naturally begins to change, causing a lack of sharpness or even trouble with recall. Thankfully, the breakthrough in Prevagen helps your brain and actually improves memory. The secret is an ingredient originally discovered in jellyfish. In clinical trials, Prevagen has been shown to improve short-term memory. Prevagen, the name to remember, now available in stores everywhere. Statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two Go Anywhere pillows. Now MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows for 40% off, and that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow.
Hey, have you heard about McDonald's new signature crafted recipes? You choose the meat, beef, crispy buttermilk chicken, or grilled chicken. You choose the bun, artisan roll, or sesame seed bun. And you choose the recipe of your choice, including pico guacamole, sweet barbecue bacon, or maple bacon Dijon. New taste sensations crafted just for you. Only at your locally owned McDonald's restaurants in Coos Bay, North Bend, Walmart, and Reedsport.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. We do have a winner on the goodies from McDonald's, so we'll be giving those away again next week. But in next hour, we got another giveaway, so hang in there. And let's get back to your what happened at the meeting? Let's continue.
So, like I said, the Devereux Center had the deck stacked, and they had a whole bunch of people talking in favor of the center, which really wasn't the topic of the whole subject. The subject was about crime caused by homelessness.
Right.
Now, that's very important, Jim, to remember, because after we got through with the meeting, and everyone was polite, and everyone got and spoke to each other, I went outside, and I was talking to several of the people that had came to speak out against the homeless problem. And one of the ladies who spoke, one of the homeless ladies, one of the transients, who came over and to me while I was talking and started yelling at me and cursing at me. And she started cursing at the little old lady who was standing next to me. Now, this is on the steps of City Hall.
Right.
Now, during the meeting, the whole time Roger Craddock, who is the manager, was saying that homelessness is not, or homeless people are not the ones causing crime.
Right.
Here I am out on the steps of City Hall getting accosted by this woman who really put herself in danger because she was right on the edge of the step. Her back was to the steps and I was facing her. And all I kept thinking was that movie 300 where Leonidas kicked the representative from Persia into the pit.
Yep.
That's all I kept seeing. But, you know, I kept my arms crossed because I knew she was emotionally unstable and mentally unstable. And she called me a name, an a-hole, and several other choice names. And that's when I finally went off on her and told her I didn't want to be a part of her pity party.
Right.
And at that point, she got enraged and shoved me. And, you know, I'm a 200-pound guy. It really wasn't that big of a deal. But fortunately for me, one of Coos Bay's finest, and I tell you, these guys were great. He came out and he grabbed her and said, ma'am, you just committed a crime.
And that's right, that crime, assault.
Well, actually, it wasn't assault. He says...
She puts her nasty little fingers on you, it is legally assault.
He said it was harassment. He gave... Okay, well, I don't know the law.
It's harassment to scream at you. If they put their hands on you, then it's assault.
Okay, well, that's what she was ticketed for, was actual harassment. So I don't know the law well enough to even argue the point. But here's the thing, Jim. The World newspaper did a story on that meeting talking about the crimes associated with homelessness.
Right.
Yet they completely admit the crime of assault that happened right there on the steps of City Hall. And the reporter was just standing 5 feet away when it occurred. She knew the confrontation was going on. She witnessed the confrontation. She saw the police officers involved. She saw me standing there. She saw the lady who did the shoving. And not one word about this incident.
I read the article. The article was slanted in favor of the poor, innocent homeless.
Yes, the poor, innocent homeless. Now, there was mixed martial artist who was there. And after the lady pushed me, I turned and the cop came out. He was talking to the lady and I turned around and the guy was in a half wrestling stance facing me.
Right.
And you know how they mad dog you. They give you that eye. And then he started this winking thing at me. He winked at me, and I winked back at him, and he winked at me again. Then I put my hands up like, hey, do you want to fight or you want to dance? I mean, I'm not sure where we're going with this. But, you're so exhilarated at that point because I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to get into this fight. But yet at the whole time I'm thinking, man, I'm going to get my butt kicked because this guy's a professional fighter. And I'm thinking, boy, bones are going to be smashed, teeth are going to be kicked in, and they're all going to be mine.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, luckily, once again, one of Coos Bay's finest came walking out and saw us and said, okay, guys, you know, clean it up. And he came over and said, Rob, I need to talk to you, and took me back in and asked me about the incident so we could take an independent report on it. And they actually sent out one of the union representatives, because I made a comment during the testimony that there were four officers present at the meeting. And that presence is what keeps us safe. And that's what they should be doing all over the city. And so the union rep said that, gave me a message from the Coos Bay chief of police, which, you know, for the most part, he's a good guy. And he gave me the message saying that, hey, the only one who was getting paid was the chief of police, that everyone else there was either volunteers or they were the union rep that had to be there. And I said, that's perfectly fine, because I wasn't trying to say that you were wasting money. I was just trying to say that your presence basically kept me from getting my butt kicked.
Here's the thing. Right now, the liberal thing is hate the cops. You know,
right,
the cops the cops are all vicious killers and abusers. And I don't want to live in a society that doesn't have cops.
I've got relatives who are cops. I think of my little cousin Stevie, who's a patrolman in the DeSoto neighborhood of Dallas, Texas. You ever been to the DeSoto neighborhood of Dallas, Texas?
Yeah,
talk about black as the ace of spades there. And he's a young white Irish man, and he does a great job. And you know why it is? It's because he grew up in a neighborhood just right over there. They call it Sun Valley Drive. We called it Slum Valley Drive
right.
when we were growing up. And we were poor kids, and we lived right next to the black neighborhoods. And he's now patrolling those neighborhoods. And I tell you what, I love Stevie, and I hope that he never has the problems.
You know, in spite of all the rhetoric and all the adverse publicity, in most cases, the police get along pretty well with the residents in any area. I don't care if they're black,
right.
white, polka dot.
Right.
And by and large, and you can find exceptions to anything.
Anywhere with
but
anyone, right.
I've worked with police a lot. I've gone on ride-alongs just because of the nature of my work. I have interaction with police officers, and cops are pretty much colorblind.
Right.
Cops have a tendency, if they're prejudiced at all, it's against anyone that isn't blue.
Right.
It's what they call the blue line, you know. But by and large, just about every cop I've ever known really doesn't care about a person's race. All they care about is, are you obeying the law or are you not obeying the law?
Doing their job, right?
Yeah, that's what we pay them to do.
You know, I've done a lot of those ride-alongs. Of course, mine wasn't willing. I was, you know, handcuffed in the back at the time. But you know what? These cops were great, and they have a great sense of humor. And,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
And listen, folks, never argue with a cop. It's really not worth your time.
You can't win.
The guy you want to argue with is the judge, and you want to do it behind a high-priced lawyer. That's
exactly.
what you want to do. So don't do yourself being mean.
The cop is doing his job. Whether you agree with it or not, you get your day in court.
Right.
And to berate the cop on the street, that's absolutely stupid because
yep.
it's a no-win.
Right.
And, you know, I know several police officers fairly well, and yeah, I got a secret for you folks. These guys are human.
Right.
They're just like the rest of us. They have families, they have their likes and their dislikes, but without exception, and I know you can find exceptions if you go look for them, but the ones that I've interacted with, they're professionals. When they are on the job, they are professionals. They put aside their personal likes and dislikes. They put aside their personal opinions, and they do the job. And that's basically what we expect them to do. And by and large, they do a very good job of that.
You know, I went petitioning, and one time I went to Craig Zani's house, and I didn't even recognize him hardly, you know, because he wasn't in uniform.
He wasn't in uniform,
yeah.
yeah.
And his neighbors really liked him, you know, because I'd say, oh, hey, you live next to the sheriff. And they go, oh, Craig's a great guy, you know.
He is.
You know, and he is a great guy because he's someone who actually believes or knows what his job is to protect the rights of the individual.
Well,
and
one,
that's what the politicians
One thing
lost.
About Sheriff Zani, you know, he and I have been personal friends for a long, long
right.
time. Craig understands who brung him to the dance. In his mind, he is an employee of every resident of Coos County, and he sincerely wants to do what's right by the people.
Yeah.
And, you know, by and large, and one thing you notice in any department, whether it's the city police department or the county sheriff's department, the attitude of the officers down the line reflect the boss's attitude.
You bet you they do.
And that makes a world of difference. I just looked at the clock. We got to take a break, so we'll take a short break here. Again, you know, why is nobody calling in? Isn't this important to you? It's going to affect your pocketbook. You know, surely you've got an opinion on it. Give me a call. 541-267-2124. We'll be right back.
Rupon Exchange, located at 1980 Sherman in downtown North Bend, makes pawn loans on firearms, gold and silver coins, and jewelry. Rupon Exchange is also happy to buy, sell, and trade from their huge inventory of new and used firearms. And with their extensive variety of items, from tools, electronics, musical instruments, and more, Rupon Exchange is also a great place to shop for yourself or others. So stop by Rupon Exchange at 1980 Sherman Avenue in downtown North Bend, and let's make a deal.
Think about this. What makes you want to buy a vehicle you're looking at? Is it the price, style, comfort, the color? Sure, these are important and main factors, but what about during the process? What about after the sale? Jim, the owner of Jim Vic Auto Sales, believes customer service and a sales staff that does everything they can to help you is just as important, if not more. That's why Jim says,
if I can't save you money, I don't deserve your business.
Jim Vic Auto Sales, on the corner of Virginia and Broadway, and online at jimvicautosales.com.
Today's newer vehicles are more dependable than ever before. Qualified technicians keep them operating at peak efficiency. Bayshore Auto Repair, North Bayshore Drive in Coos Bay, have all the proper equipment and training to service and repair today's high-tech vehicles. Bayshore Auto Repair believes that care of their customers is just as important as the care they give your vehicle. Call 269-2700 for an appointment to keep your car, truck, or RV in top running condition. Bayshore Auto Repair. Top quality service and excellent customer care are their most important goals.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. Well, why don't you kind of finish up with what's going on with this? The homeless thing, now that's probably not going to be resolved anytime soon.
Yeah, it's an ageless problem. That's the thing. It's never going to be resolved. But we've got to watch the city because, like I said, they had two grant writers who were testifying, who were talking about getting more funding for these types of housing projects. So we have to watch the revenue source and what they plan on doing.
Well, and here's the problem with grants, folks. Represent grants. Oh, well, we've got these grants. It isn't going to cost us any money.
Right.
Well, the grant is for the initial setup. Let's say they get a gazillion-dollar grant and they build all this housing for these people. Who in the hell's going to pay to maintain it? Who's going to do the upgrades on it as the codes change? Do we have enough cops to police it?
We're going to need a new taxing district. We're going to need the new Coos County Housing and Urban Development Taxing District. That's what we're going to need.
God, don't give them any ideas.
Well, I even picked out the name for them. Benetti, you guys got to remember, he took money from Urban Renewal back in 2012. He took about $7,500. I mean, he's nice, but he's not $7,500 nice, you know, so... people, we've got to get our priorities back in order. So let's watch the urban renewal and how they spend the money and the prioritization of that. And let's make sure they don't spend any more money.
And let's keep an eye on our commissioners, see if they pass this thing. Because, if they try to jam that down our throat, it's just another example of two commissioners that don't represent all of the people. They only represent their old boy networks.
And those are, even though I'm tying the two issues together, the county urban renewal area is completely different from the city urban renewal area. And I'm against both.
Well, but that's money that could be used to address other problems, the homeless included.
Right.
And yet they're pulling that money out for their so-called pet projects. And, you could probably make a case that in certain situations, an urban renewal district might be beneficial. However, in general, all it's doing is robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Right.
And the people who get paid, all of the Pauls out there, unfortunately, are hardly ever members of the public.
Well, here's the wild thing. Cribbins and Sweet has done an incredible thing. They have united the left and the right. Of course, they have united them in opposition against their own urban renewal agency.
Right.
So I talked to Jody McCaffrey today at the meeting, and we almost never agree on any of the issues.
I can understand that.
But on this issue, we are completely aligned, and I believe I'm talking to her and seeing if she can come on as one of the chief petitioners because it'd bring on all of the lefties and the greenies. And on this issue, I agree with them. They shouldn't have to pay their tax dollars for development that they don't want. That's just wrong. And the Republicans, They don't mind development. They just don't want to pay for it. So that's how they've united these two groups.
Yeah.
And so you've got the Democratic Party and the Republican Party completely united against this whole industrial and economic development
and
project.
And two commissioners that are standing against all of it.
Right.
You know, this gets back to my pet peeve on just about everything. It's we the people that own this country. And the people that we elect to represent our interests all too often forget who brought them to the dance.
Right.
And, you know, Cribbins and Sweet are just prime examples of politicians that got elected and forgot who elected them and forgot whose welfare they're responsible for.
Right.
When John Sweet said that it wasn't his job, well, he's wrong. It is his job. And regarding Second Amendment ordinance, he took an oath of office. And that oath of office is that he swore he would protect and defend the constitutions of the state of Oregon and the Constitution of the United States of America. And he didn't do it. So you know what that is?
Right.
That makes him a lying piece of crap.
And I would agree with you.
And now, just so people understand, every now and again, I run across somebody that says, oh, well, you're horrible. You call people names and you say all these bad things about them. I have never, ever said anything on this show about anybody that I haven't already said to their face. I've never done it. I will, before I say anything on this show, I will go to the person in question and I will tell them to their face what I think. And I don't really care if they like it or not because they work for me. I don't work for them. And every one of you listening needs to understand every one of these politicians are your employee. And what do? When you've got an employee that lies to you, you fire them.
That's what Trump would have done.
Well, that's what I would have done. And anybody that's ever owned a business.
Right.
You cannot afford to have employees that lie to you. You cannot run a business that way. You cannot run a city, a county, or a country that way. Anyway, we're at the top of the hour. We're going to hear from some of our great sponsors. And we're going to get some propaganda from lamestream media. So put on your brain filters, and I'll be back in a couple minutes.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show after that long break. But we're back. I want to switch gears here a little bit. Over the past couple weeks, I've been doing some research, and I found a number of things. They weren't involved enough to really address on the show in their entirety, but just the headlines and some of the things going on, just to give you an idea of some of this stuff that hasn't been reported, of course, in the lamestream media and certainly not in the almost daily toilet paper. But here's some headlines and stories. These are from around the state and around the country. This happened a couple weeks ago. The Portland police are ditching their gang database because there aren't enough white gang members.
We could join.
I don't play well with others.
Nah.
The Antifa protesters a couple weeks ago in Portland, there was a Patriot prayer going on. And basically that's what it was. There's a bunch of Patriots out there and they were praying. And these Antifa protesters threw smoke bombs and assaulted the cops. And, of course, they got a slap on the wrist because it was in Portland. And in Portland, you know, if you mention prayer, you obviously deserve to die.
They should have took a knee.
Yeah, no kidding. Our governor, Kate Brown, has announced her intention to pass legislation in a short session of 2018 to place a regulatory limit on emissions of carbon dioxide by large industrial sources. Once a company exceeds their annual limit, they're going to have to purchase allowances for additional emissions. Now, even the proponents, the people that are in favor of this, estimate that this regulation is going to cost Oregon businesses about $1.4 billion. That's with a B, $1.4 billion per biennium. And of course, those costs will be passed on to consumers. So grab your wallet, folks. Such regulations may be appropriate if there were any known environmental or health benefits to reducing carbon dioxide. Unfortunately for them, such a link doesn't exist. Not only are benefits speculative, but they're global in nature and very, very long-term, possibly centuries into the future. And yet Kate Brown wants to hurt business and delve deeper into your pocketbook. Now, the Democrat-dominated Oregon legislature passed $530 million in new vehicle and gas taxes. Did you know that?
No.
Well, you didn't see it in the not quite daily toilet paper over there, but they passed a $530 million bill to increase vehicle and gas taxes. Most Oregonians don't even know it's coming.
Right. You know, I did hear about this, and yeah, that's coming down the pike. Yep.
Yeah. Now, here's what this $530 million in taxes includes. A new car sales tax.
Right.
This tax is going to punish auto dealers who, of course, will pass the tax on to the customers. A 10-cent per gallon gas tax increase. Now, this new increase is going to make Oregon the fifth highest gas tax in the country. A new statewide payroll tax forcing rural Oregonians, that's all of you listening to me, folks, forcing you to pay a new wage tax to subsidize big city bus services that the people don't use.
That's going to help a lot in Bandon and Coos Bay.
But we still get to pay for it. We get to pay for the shortfall for Portland with their light rail and their buses.
Well, you know, I'm paying for the abortions of any of the women who might want to be riding that bus. So heck, you know.
Yeah, what's a few more dollars? You didn't need to eat, did you?
I didn't need to eat, no.
Yeah, and you don't need a house. You can become homeless.
And
go over to the Devereaux Center, and they'll give you a tent and a sleeping bag, and you're in biz.
I'm in biz. It sounds like a good deal.
A $26 registration and title increase. $26 more than you're paying now. And these fees will give Oregon the nation's 15th highest tax on vehicle title and registration. A $15 tax on bicycles.
On bicycles?
Yeah, they're going to tax your bicycle.
Does this include tricycles for your kid, too?
Well, I don't know. It just says bicycles.
Okay.
Oregon is going to be the first state now in the nation with its own bike tax. A 25% truck mileage tax increase. That's on top of what's already being paid.
Right.
25%. This huge truck mileage increase is going to hurt the trucking industry, of course, and it's going to increase the price of just about everything that moves by truck, which is just about everything.
You know, one way to solve the homeless problem is not to overtax people who are just about homeless and driving them into the street. It sounds to me like you got a lot of problems.
Well,
there.
How many businesses are going to go under?
Yeah, no kidding.
Now, this package was passed by Governor Kate Brown and Senate President Peter Courtney and Speaker of the House Tina Kotek. Democrats, everyone. Now, soon after the Oregon legislature passed a bill last summer that was expected to generate $550 million of tax revenue to help pay for Medicaid, The state found out that nearly 45% of all the Medicaid recipients are not eligible to receive health care benefits.
Oh, imagine that.
45%!
Could you imagine now, if you were doing that in your business, a 45% just giveaway to people who didn't need it?
Yeah. The Oregon Health Authority has finally removed nearly 55,000 people from the Medicaid program because an audit found that they no longer qualified or failed to complete an eligibility check. Now, at an average of $430 per month per person, this amounts to about $550 million per biennium. Gee, the same amount that the legislature passed in additional taxes. What a coincidence.
What a coinky-dink.
Yeah. Now, this tremendous savings means that there's even less reason to let some $320 million in new health care taxes go into effect next year. In fact, there is a petition out there to stop this.
Right.
But why should some Oregonians have to pay a new tax on their health insurance premiums? And why should hospitals have to pay a new tax on their income that's only going to be passed on to the patients?
And then you combine this, if the Republicans pass the bill, the health care bill that they're getting ready to pass, Oregon is going to be one of the most hardest hit states with the subsidies that we're going to be losing.
Well, they're going to be limited.
Limited, right.
Now, this new law imposes a sales tax on health insurance premiums and hospital revenue that's going to be borne by the patients. For example, 217,000 people in the individual market and over 11,000 college students who buy their own health insurance are among the hundreds of thousands of Oregonians that are going to have to pony up for this thing. And that isn't the worst of it. Local Oregon school districts are going to pay some $25 million, and community colleges will likely be forced to raise tuition costs, all because of these new taxes. Now, aren't we hearing almost daily how there isn't enough money for education?
Right, right.
But so the governor is going to, and the twits in the legislature are going to sock the schools for an additional $25 million.
Wow.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, if the state hadn't awarded Medicaid benefits to over 37,000 unqualified people, which cost us about $191 million, wasted over $300 million on the failed cover-up Oregon Insurance Exchange website, or spent an additional $166 million on another failed IT system, even proponents of these new sales taxes would have had a hard time justifying them.
Right.
I'm having a hard time justifying them anyway. But fortunately, signatures are being gathered to refer these taxes to the ballot and let the people decide what to do with it. And I don't know. How are we doing on the signatures?
Well, actually, I was just going to say, if you go to www.stopthehealthcaretax.com, you can download a petition. You have until about this Friday to download a petition, get it in the mail, and get your signature counted. So if you can, if you're within the sound of my voice, anyone can do this. That is stopthehealthcaretaxes.com and sign that petition so we don't have to deal with it.
And we do have a caller. We have Clark from Coos Bay. Clark, welcome to the Jim Bice Show. What's on your mind?
Well, Jim, I've been listening to you on this on the radio, you and Rob, and you guys do a good job. And every time it turns around, we're facing the same thing. It's the Democrats. They want this. They want that. And I'm not against Democrats. They're all the same idiots as everybody else. But it's they want to give you driverless trucks. They want to give you driverless cars. They want to take over. They want to give you this and they want to give you that. What does that do? That takes away from the working person.
Well, of course. Of course. But they don't care about that. You know.
That's right. All that way you can go on unemployment or disabilities or medical assistance and all this stuff. As long as they have control over you, that's what they're after.
And you hit the bottom line there, Clark. Control. That's the name of the game, and that's what people don't seem to understand. Every time you take a handout from the government, you just gave up a portion of your freedom. And
Yeah. We don't have enough freedom to start with now.
I guess the way people need to think about this is, okay, the government wants to do this for me. The government wants to do that for me. How much of my life am I willing to give up so that they can do that? Because that's the bottom line, you know?
Yeah, and it's not they want to do it. They just are going to do it unless we stand up and say no.
And that's why we have a ballot box. And
we don't seem to get a chance at it because I understand what you guys Rob was just talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to go online to get this stuff. This stuff ought to be out where a person, and I've gone talk to you a little bit before about it. I don't own a damn computer.
Well, I
don't want one.
You know what you do?
For me to sign a petition, I've got to find a computer. Why couldn't it be out at a general place or down
right.
the library or somewhere you could go in and sign something.
You know, if I had my way, because I'm one of those who is circulating those petitions, and I wish I could have gotten in touch with you sooner. In fact, if you want, give me an email at Coos County. Well, you can't because you don't have an email.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
Give him your phone.
There you
go.
Yeah, give you. I'm going to give you my.
You and I have talked before.
Okay.
We've done a few things before, and I think I still have your phone number in my office.
Give me a call. Give me a call, and if I'm not there, just leave your address, and I'll drop a petition in the mail for you tomorrow, and you can sign it and get it off to them yourselves.
Okay.
Now, the other thing you could do, Clark, is get as many friends as will go with you and go over to the Not Quite Daily toilet paper and ask them why in the hell they're not covering this stuff.
Right.
And they're going to close the door as you walk before you walk in.
Well, so they what? You will have
well,
made
you,
your
you,
point,
you
but
talk to them.
You know, they're supposed to be a community newspaper. They're supposed to be advising the public of all this stuff. And so far, everything I've talked about, they have not addressed.
Well, Jim, you know, in my world, I would have either the county or the cities have a copy of each petition so that you could go to City Hall or your county courthouse and you could sign a petition of the people, and it wouldn't take hardly anything for them to do something like that.
But they won't do it.
And they won't do it.
Yep.
Yeah, they won't do it.
Yep.
Yeah. But anyway, you guys, thank you for keeping us up for dummies like me, keeping me impressed with stuff.
Well, it's not that you're dumb, Clark. It's that places that are supposed to be giving you this information aren't doing their job. It's not your fault. It's their fault.
Well, you know, we know that, but that's what they want. They just want the people that if they're less informed, then they'll just think more about they're doing the greatest job in the world, and we'll sit by and we'll let them go.
Oh, yeah. Well, somewhere along the line, you know, I used to subscribe to the garbage can liner. And,
I did,
and
too.
They kind of priced themselves out of the market. We canceled it. And, you know, they wanted $77 for, what, 6 months, I think.
6 months of fake news for
$77. Yeah,
$6.
Why am I going to pay for fake news and no news? So we canceled it.
Exactly. I did the same thing myself.
Yeah. You know, it's ridiculous. Anyway, Clark, I thank you for the call. And you have
you got
a great
it, Jim.
Day.
You and Rob have a good day.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And with that, we do need to take a break here and hear from some of our great sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Stop in today to the all-new one-stop gun shop, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop in Coos Bay. Your area leader in quality firearms, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop proudly features the top brands of new and used handguns, hunting rifles, black rifles, antique and collectible guns, ammo, mace, and more. Gun cleaning and repair, expert advice, and handgun safety classes for concealed carry permits are offered too. So stop into Hole in the Wall Gun Shop across from Cumyon's on Highway 101 South in Coos Bay. We buy, sell, or trade.
I'm a tire guy, and while you think you need new tires, what you really need is tires that created the whole off-road thing, and the kind of tough that strikes fear into roots, cages, and gullies everywhere. BF Goodrich Tires. They get you out there where the fun is. How far? That's up to you. Maybe you only need to get your fenders dirty with a little trail ride, or maybe you need to scramble up cliffs and cross the goo to get to your favorite fishing hole. When Playground Earth calls, you'll definitely be tough. Come see Far West Tire Factory in Coos Bay for the BF Goodrich All-Terrain TAKO and the Rugged Terrain.
At Gibbs RV in Coos Bay, we sell more RVs than anybody on the Oregon coast. And we're looking for nice, clean, pre-owned RVs to consign or buy. Want to get your RV sold without the hassle? Call Gibbs RV today at 888-3424. That's 541-888-3424. Local pickup and appraisal at no charge. And remember, we make house calls. Gibbs RV Superstore, 1845 Ocean Boulevard in Coos Bay.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the show. I got some more items here that you probably haven't heard about because this crappy little rag that tries to call itself a newspaper doesn't report anything real. Leftist vandals haven't quite satisfied their bloodlust yet for the removal of Confederate statues.
Now they're going after Jefferson.
Yeah, that's been going on for a long time. But now they've begun their assault on religious figures that it triggers their social justice warrior sensitivities. The poor little snowflakes.
Well, they ain't much of a warrior if they're that sensitive, yeah.
Last month, they attacked a statue of recently canonized Saint Junipero Sierra with red paint and a swastika.
Well, that's a hate crime, isn't it?
Well, that wasn't good enough for them. This month, they went ahead and they beheaded the statue. And they also destroyed some statues of Christopher Columbus because he brought evil white men to this placid and peaceful continent.
Well, what did the original saint do to deserve a beheading? Do you know?
Darn if I know.
Well, that's a crime against a minority and against a religion.
Well, they don't care about that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What was I thinking?
You know, you're trying to be logical, and that doesn't apply. At the University of Virginia, a student protest covered a statue of Thomas Jefferson, the university's founder, in a black tarp and labeled him a racist and a rapist. This is what happens when you have communist college professors and communist teachers in our schools. And this is going to give you an idea of just how your tax dollars, how effective they are in education, okay? You know, they're forever crying, oh, we need more of your money. We don't have enough money to educate your little heathens. Well, In a recent poll, only 26% of Americans can name the three branches of government. A quarter. One out of four. In another poll, 4 out of 10 Americans, that's almost half, 4 out of 10 cannot name any First Amendment rights.
There's 5, you know.
Yeah, but... Well, they don't know that. They don't know that there's any.
Neither does the abandoned city council. I had explained it to them once.
Yeah. This is your taxpayer dollars at work, folks. The next time the schools want more money, just think of that. 1 in 4 Americans, only 1 in 4 Americans can name the three branches of government, and nearly half of them can't even name any of the First Amendment rights.
Well, Jim, maybe it's because the legislature, the judicial branch is acting like the legislative branch, so they're confused.
Well, it is a bit confusing now, yeah. And a school, I don't remember where it was, but a school has warned its students not to chant USA at sporting events because it could come across as intolerant or offensive.
Oh, jeez.
Chanting the name of your country is now intolerant and offensive? Give me a break. Now, the National Park Service, they have to get into the act, too.
Well, of course.
The National Park Service has given $98,000, that's your tax money, by the way, to commemorate a violent student protest group, the Black Panther Party.
Now, how are they going to commemorate them?
Well, the Park Service is offering money to UC Berkeley so that it can honor the legacy of the 60s-era organization that preached a communist revolution and upheld black nationalism, and now they're going to spend $98,000 of our money on that.
Well, what are they? Well, if they put up a statue, I'm going to be offended by that, and we're going to have to take that statue down immediately. So,
oh, yeah, maybe... Maybe we should all become social justice warriors,
right.
only only we'll support reality instead of this ephemeral crap that they've made up that doesn't exist.
Right.
Now, the U.S. House of Representatives, I'm sure you didn't hear about this, they passed a bill last week aimed at keeping illegal aliens out of the country if they're members of criminal gangs. Now, that seems to be just common sense, doesn't it?
A little. Yeah.
If they're members of a criminal gang, we don't want them coming to the country. The Criminal Alien Gang Member Removal Act was backed largely by Republicans and opposed by Democrats. Let's see. So the Democrats are sending a message that they want more criminal illegal aliens in the country. That's what they're saying because they oppose this bill. Now, the bill would require illegal aliens in gangs to be detained and deported and ensures that gang members are not able to receive immigration benefits, including asylum, special immigrant juvenile status, or temporary protected status. Sounds to me like common sense.
Well, you know, if we didn't do that, I guess we could house them at Pelosi's house. You know.
Yeah, we'll send them to Pelosi and Maxine Waters and Dick Durbin and Chuckie Schumer. Send them to their house.
You know, she isn't doing too well with that part of her constituents, the Hispanic part. I was watching, and boy, she was getting a
lot. They're turning on her.
Man, that gets really ugly, doesn't it?
Yeah. Now, we've all heard the rhetoric. We've heard it from the talking heads in the media. We've heard it from politicians. Building a wall across the U.S.-Mexican border, that's evil, and it's not really going to accomplish anything. How often have you heard that? It's not going to accomplish anything. Well, Hungary, the country of Hungary, they built a wall because they were being invaded by all these so-called refugees from the Middle East, right?
Right.
Kind of like we're being invaded by people from Central and South America. Hungary built a wall. In just 3 months, it cut illegal immigration by 99%.
You know, Jim, the real incredible part of that story is they got Mexico to pay for it, you know.
Yeah, right. Well, I think Trump, you know, Mexico's going to pay for that one way or the other. They may not write a check, but it's going to cost them big time in their economy. But this is what liberal Democrats think of normal people. And to top it all off, California Governor Moonbeam Brown compared Trump supporters to cave dwellers as he addressed a climate change event in New York. Brown criticized Donald Trump's policies on climate change in North Korea as stupid and dangerous and silly. Before likening Trump supporters, that's you, you know, anybody listening to me more than likely voted for Trump. So this is addressed to you. He called Trump supporters cavemen. He said, this is his quote, "They're both kind of very similar," Brown said. "You should check out the derivation of Trumpite and troglodyte because they both refer to people who dwell in deep, dark caves." This is what Democrats and political elitists think of ordinary normal people.
Well, I'm glad to see he's reaching across the aisle.
Yeah, he's how to win friends and influence people. Now, this week, cities and municipalities around the country are celebrating Hispanic Week.
Yeah.
You know, but when I heard that, I thought, well, why don't we have a Black Week or a German Week or an English Week? Maybe an Irish Week, or a Native American Week, or an Eskimo Week. You know, you get the idea. Did it ever occur to anybody to have an Americans Week?
You mean what we are?
Yeah. Have an Americans Week. But I'm sorry. I should have never even brought this up. That might actually bring people together rather than focus on our differences, and we can't have that. You know, don't forget, the liberal way is divide and conquer. Break people up into as many groups as possible and pit them against one another. So we're probably never going to have an Americans Week until we obliterate all of the libs out there. Almost said exterminate, but that would probably get somebody shorts knotted up.
Yeah, watch out now.
Well, let me take a break here before I get into the next thing because it's a little lengthy. So we're going to take a break here. If you'd like to join the show, give me a call here, 541-267-2124. What do you think of all this nonsense going on? Doesn't this just make you want to scream? If it does, give me a call, 541-267-2124, and you can scream at me.
Rubicon Exchange, located at 1980 Sherman in downtown North Bend, makes pawn loans on firearms, gold and silver coins, and jewelry. World Pawn Exchange is also happy to buy, sell, and trade from their huge inventory of new and used firearms. And with their extensive variety of items, from tools, electronics, musical instruments, and more, World Pawn Exchange is also a great place to shop for yourself or others. So stop by World Pawn Exchange at 1980 Sherman Avenue in downtown North Bend, and let's make a deal.
In just a fast few minutes from right now, you can have life insurance for up to $500,000 without taking a medical exam and without leaving your home. We're Fast Life, and we're going to make this easy and fast. Odds are that you don't have enough insurance, or you're paying way too much for what you got, or you don't have any, and that's not good. Listen, nobody likes to think about life insurance, but we're grown-ups now, so call and protect your family. 1-800-254-9567, or go to fastlife.life. You've got insurance? That's great, but you may be able to get more coverage and pay less than what you're paying now. And with no medical exam, you can get it right over the phone, and that's fast. Faster than a speeding bullet? No, but fast. And we also said we make it easy. So call and get quotes, then submit an application over the phone, and that's it. And that's easy. Get approved, and coverage starts instantly. And that's fast. Faster than the speed of light? No, but fast. Call 1-800-254-9567 or go to fastlife.life. Fastlife.life. It's revolutionary. It's Fast Life.
If you run your own business, when you're not on the job, you're on the road. In your van. Signs that say detour and do not enter are just plain bad for business. Well, here's a sign that's great for business. It says 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance on Mercedes-Benz Sprinter or Metris vans. Powerful, capable, and affordable. That's Mercedes-Benz van power. With pioneering safety technologies and low total cost of ownership, Mercedes-Benz vans are the right choice for your business. Check out the full lineup of Mercedes-Benz vans starting at just $25,995. 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance. That's van power for all. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
Starting at price refers to base model Metris worker cargo van. Excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Please see your dealer or go to mvvans.com for further details and exclusions.
Are your medical bills piling up due to cancer or another serious illness? You are not alone. Many people face this challenge. Here's how Coventry Direct can help. You can receive an immediate cash payment by selling your life insurance policy. If you have $100,000 or more of life insurance, you may be eligible to sell your policy, even a term policy. To find out if you qualify, call Coventry Direct today at 1-800-510-2800 to speak to one of our policy specialists. That's 1-800-510-2800. The cash you receive from selling your policy can be used to help pay medical bills or whatever you choose to give you financial security and peace of mind. Call Coventry Direct at 1-800-510-2800 or visit us at CoventryDirect.com. Coventry Direct. Giving you the cash you need when you need it most. Coventry Direct is a marketing company and will refer qualified policies to a licensed entity.
We all want more for less. Now your locally owned McDonald's is offering their McPick 2, where you can get two McDoubles, two McChickens, two sausage McMuffins, or two sausage burritos for only $2.50 mix or match. Now that really is more for less. For a limited time only at your locally owned McDonald's in Coos Bay, North Bend, Walmart, and Reedsport.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the show. It seems that every time you listen to or read or watch the lamestream media, they use the terms populism and nationalism as epithets. Like these are something bad. And So I decided to find out exactly what those terms mean, okay? So I went to the dictionary. It's a pretty good place to find out what things mean, isn't it?
Well, that's where they actually keep the what the words mean, not what the liberals tell you they mean.
Well, this is what the words actually mean. Populism. A political philosophy supporting the rights and power of the people in their struggle against the privileged elite. That's populism. B, the movement organized around this philosophy. C, a political strategy based on a calculated appeal to the interests or prejudices of ordinary people. D, an egalitarian political philosophy or movement that promotes the interests of the common people. And E, representation or celebration of the views, interests, and so forth of the common people. So the populism is basically what's best for the ordinary folks. I don't know how that's bad, but according to the talking heads, it's horrible. And then we get nationalism. Nationalism, number one, devotion to the interest or culture of a particular nation state. Number two, the belief that nations will benefit from acting independently rather than collectively, emphasizing national rather than international goals. Three, the belief that a particular cultural or ethnic group constitutes a distinct people deserving of political self-determination.
Oh my.
Yeah. Four, a sentiment based on common cultural characteristics that binds a population and often produces a policy of national independence or separatism. Five, loyalty or devotion to one's country. In other words, patriotism.
Right.
Or six, the doctrine or policy of asserting the interests of a particular nation over the interests of other nations. So the terms populism and nationalism are really beliefs in the rights and powers of the common people and in patriotism.
Which are perfectly fine as long as they're not unconstitutional.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So you've got to ask yourself, if populism is for the benefit of ordinary, normal folks, and if nationalism is wanting is basically patriotism, why is it that all these elitists in Washington, D.C. and all of these talking heads seem to think it's horrible? Maybe they don't believe in the common person. Maybe they don't believe in patriotism and loving one's country. We already know that a whole bunch of professional athletes that became multimillionaires because of our system and because of this country now hate America. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, Donald Trump called for him to be fired. I'm going to go a step farther. Ship their sorry butts out of the country.
I second that. If you don't like
it, get out. It's real simple. And we do have a caller. We have Haven from Bandon. Haven, I haven't heard from you in a while. How you doing?
Oh, not too bad. I haven't been beat up like Rob lately. So,
oh, well.
You know, I'm traumatized now. I have PTSD.
Well,
yeah.
Well, you know, Rob, aren't there times you just want to slap him anyway?
Slap the crap out of me? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
I know Haven's been there.
Yeah. Well, what's on your mind today, Haven?
Well, I just wondered if you've seen the latest thing on the news where Trump's supposedly aggressive verbiage is pushing Korea towards war.
Oh,
what
yeah.
What the hell do they think launching missiles at Japan is doing?
Well, let's think about this a minute, Haven. We went through George Bush the first, who kissed Korea's butt. And then yep. Bill Clinton not only kissed her butt, but sent them millions of dollars if they would cease and desist. They took the money and they didn't do anything.
Well, didn't Bill Clinton send them nuclear reactors as well?
Yeah, Hillary made it possible for them to purchase fissionable materials.
Right.
Because she sold about 40% of our uranium production.
Well, I was under the impression 20-some years ago Bubba Clinton sold the Koreans all kinds of nuclear stuff so they could build power plants.
No, he lifted the restrictions
from the State Department
on technology, and this was primarily computer technology, but he lifted the restriction that allowed companies to sell to China, which was in essence the same as selling to North Korea.
You mean he allowed them to have the part that directs the missile straight to my house?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, only your house, though, Rob, because you know the homeless people have targeted you.
That's right.
But then we move forward to George II, and he gave them money not to pursue their nuclear programs. And then King Obama... he quadrupled down. He gave the North Koreans more money than the previous three presidents combined, with assurances that they weren't going to pursue nuclear. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Saudis and the Iraqis weren't going to either. So,
right.
You know,
but see, that's okay.
Trust them.
That's okay, but now Trump comes out and said, all right, we've had enough of this crap. We're not going to give you any more money. And if you don't cease and desist, you will cease to exist. And that gets all these liberal shorts knotted up. Oh, my God, he's threatening him. Well, what about them threatening us? Just over the weekend, one of the Korean diplomats says that a Korean missile hitting the United States is inevitable.
Well, the one I liked was the news report about 2 weeks ago where they put up in the morning first thing because something Trump said offended them.
Oh, yeah.
And they can't figure out what the problem is with Korea because they're not launching missiles towards anybody. Not just Japan.
Well, and Japan happens to be an ally.
I can't imagine why the Japanese are skittish of having nuclear sent towards them. Can you?
Well, no. And don't forget the Koreans... came out and said that they were planning a missile attack on Guam. Well, Guam is a U.S. territory. That's like hitting California. Personally,
that one senator had the Guam thing figured out. We'll put all the military out on Guam and it'll tip it over.
Yeah, right.
Some Democrat idiot.
Yeah. Well, personally, I'd rather they take out California than Guam. Guam, to me, has a hell of a lot more value to the United States than any state that's headed by Governor Moonbeam.
They could leave Northern Cal alone for about a month because I got to go down there for a show. So,
but you have my sympathy.
I know. I'm going right into the middle of the best part of it. I'm going to Humboldt.
No. Oh well, that's not too bad.
Haven, you get a lot of your state of Jefferson flags and go down there. They'll love it.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll fit right in.
Well, hey, I got a question for you, Rob. On that petition to download, is that the one that you had on the corner at the Cranberry Fest?
Yes, it was.
Okay, cool.
Yep, you already signed it.
Yeah, well, I was just seeing, you know, in case there was other people like me that don't remember what they did yesterday. And, yeah. And I signed something.
I'm going around with like seven petitions, you know, sheets right now. So everyone's like, well, I'm not sure if I did sign it. Well, sign it again. What the heck?
No.
I'm joking.
Yeah. Well, you could be like the Democrats, you know, vote
early and often.
Yeah, vote early and vote often. Yeah. All righty. Well, I thank you. I thank you for the call. It's good to hear from you again.
You bet.
Okay, take care, Haven.
Take care.
And with that, I got to give something away. I know everybody hates this. This is from the Lucky Star Chinese Restaurant. They're located at the foot of Newmark on Highway 101. Pretty much everybody knows where they're at. You can't drive down the highway without seeing them. They're open 7 days a week from 11 in the morning to 9:30 at night. You can dine in, you can carry out, and they deliver. I know that because... I call for delivery 2-3 times a month. Their food's really good, by the way.
I'll stand by their food. They got sesame chicken to die for. That stuff's great.
You know, they have a steak down there. I forget what they call it, sizzling platter or something. Mm-hmm. But it's one of the best steaks in town at a Chinese restaurant.
I've never tried their steak. Now,
try
now,
it.
Yeah, now you're giving me a reason to go over there.
Yeah. Anyway, what they're offering here is a house special dinner. This is their big deal. It's huge. Barbecued pork, sweet and sour pork, fried shrimp, spring roll, pork fried rice, pork chow mein, and a partridge in a pear tree. Oh, not quite.
That's extra.
But anyway, they're giving away this house special dinner. To caller number 3 at 541-267-2124. So dial the phone right now, 541-267-2124. And win a house special dinner at Lucky Star Chinese Restaurant, which you're going to love. And I'll be right back.
Always the right tire, always the right price, Far West Tire.
Hi, Danny at Far West Tire and Auto. Rather than attempting to brave those risky back roads with wore-out tires, maybe you should consider an upgrade. If you're ready to enjoy some winter off-roading, then it's time to pay a visit to Far West Tire and Auto, your Bay Area BF Goodrich tire dealer. Stop by and check out our selection of BF Goodrich tires at Far West Tire and Auto, Highway 101, Coos Bay. Always the right tire, always the right price.
It's time to play Coos Trivia.
I'll take Coos Business for 200, please.
Question, who is Jim Vick?
The owner of Jim Vick Auto Sales on Broadway in Virginia in North Bend.
Correct! What year did Jim Vick get into the car business?
Easy, 1961.
Wait, really? I didn't know that.
It's true. Did you know I just bought my pre-owned BMW from him?
I've noticed some great-looking Mercedes and Lexus models on the lot as well. I need to head down there now.
You do. And remember, Jim says,
if I can't save you money, I don't deserve your business.
Slip away to the tropics. The tropical decor at the new Copacabana, North Bend's newest and friendliest night spot. The Copacabana is located at 645 Virginia Avenue and features not only a full-service bar for all your favorite adult beverages, but offers hamburgers, seafood, and appetizers to satisfy your munchies. They're open from 5 till midnight Monday through Thursday and 5 till 2:30 a.m. on Friday and Saturday. At the Copacabana, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights are special with a live DJ for your dancing and listening pleasure. That's the Copacabana, 645 Virginia in North Bend. Stop by tonight.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. And your quick call, and we do have a winner on the house special dinner at the Chinese restaurant. But we'll do it again next week. And, you know, between now and then, I'm probably going to go down there for lunch someday next week. Anyway, I stand corrected. My wife called in and talked to Bill. I said it was the not quite daily toilet paper was $77 every 6 months. That's not true. It's $77 for 13 weeks.
Wow.
If you multiply that out, it's just under $5 a week or $1 a day since that rag only publishes 5 days a week.
That's fraud.
It is a fraud. They're charging more now for 5 days,
right,
than they used to charge for 6 days, and it's either garbage or fake news. Why in the hell would you spend any money with them? So we quit. They get no more of my money. I just wanted to clarify that. You know, my wife keeps me straight, folks. Every time I get carried away, she straightens me right out. Mean, vicious woman.
Those are the best ones, though.
Yeah. Well, somebody's got to keep me on the straight.
Like dear old mom, right?
Yeah. Dear old mom. Yeah. Well, my wife is, she's a pretty sharp lady.
Good.
You know, and some of my friends, keep telling her that, you know, she's brilliant, except, in her choice of men. And
they always ask my wife that too. What the hell were you thinking? I mean,
yeah.
Did he drug you? What? Yeah, does he have pictures on you? What is it?
Well, personally, I think she made a great choice.
I do too.
A lot of people, you know, beg to differ.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is what it is. I want to do something a little personal here. This is something I didn't intend to do, but this is something that this has stuck with me since Saturday.
Yeah.
Saturday mornings, I normally go out into the woods and I do some recreational shooting with some friends.
Yeah.
And it's a chance for me to get out and not have to think about business.
Right.
It kind of airs my head out. And since I'm an airhead anyway, I need that. And there were some folks out there and we'd been there for 10 or 15 minutes and a guy came over to me and he says, "Well, I recognize you. You're Jim Bice. I listen to your show every week." And I thanked him, of course. And this happens to me quite frequently. No matter where I go, people come up to me. As soon as I hear my voice, they know who I am. Apparently, I have a very distinctive voice. Unfortunately, sometimes, you know, I'm gratified that people recognize my voice and that they listen to the show. And I really, really appreciate it. But all too often, they want to talk business. And, you know, my attitude is, I do business about 60 hours a week.
Right.
When I'm not working, I don't want to talk business. I want to do other stuff.
You mean, so when you're at the urinal, you don't want to be, you know, hey, you're Jim Bice.
Not really.
Not really. Huh?
Not really. But I wanted to thank the gentleman. He told me his name, and I'm sorry, I don't recall it. But the gentleman that was out there with his family shooting, he came over, he introduced himself, we talked for a couple of minutes, and then he went back to his shooting, I went back to my shooting, and I wanted to express to him, I hope he's listening, how much I appreciate the fact that he didn't want to talk business. You know, I realize that being a public person, I'm going to get a certain amount of that, and that's fine. And like I said, I'm very gratified and humbled that so many people do listen, but I also appreciate the ones that, you know, when I'm out trying to have a good time and not address all of this crap that I live with on a daily basis, it's really refreshing to find people like that. And I wanted to thank that gentleman. I hope he's listening. We do have a caller here. We have Neil from North Bend. Neil, welcome to the Jim Bice Show. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Hi, Jim. Yeah, I really love your show. I have a question about, because I don't track it down with the bloodhounds or anything, but this $60 million school bond thing that we're supposed to vote for in November has just got me totally puzzled, because I thought the little bit that I read that started out at $65 million, and then the last thing I saw was $59,999.99. Yeah. So I'm wondering, what in the world is going on with that $60 million?
Well, it's
staggering.
It's still in limbo at the moment. They came out with the idea, and people hated it so much that they kind of drew back a little bit, and now they're back. They're going to try to get it on the November ballot. I don't know if it will be on there or not. And I intentionally have not addressed it, because if it's not going to be on the ballot, it's a non-issue. If they do put it on the ballot, I will tell everybody all about it, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But it comes back to the same old thing. They can't live within their budget, and they expect the rest of us to basically... and in some cases, that's going to be so high, that assessment will be so high, that there will literally be people losing their homes over it.
Yeah, right. Sure,
and
sure.
So I don't know where it's at now. I suspect they're going to try to get it on the ballot. And of course, you can almost guarantee that the not quite daily toilet paper is going to support it, as well as, a lot of our idiot politicians that, don't give a rat's behind about you or me or anybody else. All they care about is themselves. So,
but you know, the thing that struck me was $60 million. I mean, my God,
yeah.
Coos Bay. It's like, oh my God! And then they say, who is going to pay for it? The property owners.
Exactly.
So let's try to run out some more. Let's run some more people out of here. Let's have them on the boat to China to get them out of Coos Bay. They can't even afford the tax.
Look at the bright side, Neil. They'll run off all the normal people, and they can fill Coos County with illegal aliens and Syrian refugees
and homeless for the house
and homeless. Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I call it. But I just, you know, to me, it just struck me as just ludicrous.
It is
$1 million. My God. Oh my. Yeah.
I know. Well, stay tuned in, because if they get that on the ballot, I'm certainly going to address it. And I hate to cut you off, but that music in the background means the computer's about to cut us off.
All right, thanks a lot, Jim.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
We are out of time for this show. I will be back next week, you know, God willing, and the creek don't rise. And until then, I want you to go out there and you have a great week.